in and welcome to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. This is Kevin, your host. You may or may not have known, but I have not been here for a couple weeks. True Wealth, guess what, is sponsored by Coins Plus in Spokane, your full-service rare coin and precious metals broker, dealer, depository service. Serving Spokane for 20 years or so. Coins Plus is always actively involved in the purchase and sale of all forms of gold and silver, rare coins, collections, portfolios, accumulations, hoards, all kinds, anything to do with the way they come or the way they go. We specialize in wealth and capital preservation, and we have the highest rated privately held depository service in the Northwest United States. I really believe it's a far broader area than that. There's just not a lot of facilities around like ours. Not only do we offer extremely high security depository service, we've built a building from the ground up for security in that area. When we rent you a box, we do not have a key. You get both keys to the box. We do not keep one. We have a guard key so nobody can get in without us, but we don't keep a key. And there, I think it's obvious why we've done that. It leaves no room for doubt. We don't, it's just something we can't do. There's times people'd like us to do it. When we do, you know, people save with us for retirement. And what we'll do at that point is if they want to sell stuff off and get a check every month, we'll actually transfer assets out of their private depository box into a separate vault that we have access to. And then each month we'll remove products, whatever amount they, you know, they want to sell that month, and we'll just issue a check each month. People do that with us here for various reasons. Obviously, you know, as a form of a retirement income or whatever. So we offer that service, but we don't liquidate your assets by accessing them in your box. Coins Plus can be reached at 444-0044, toll-free 877-TAP-COIN, or through the website coinsplus.com. Eventually, we'll have a little more to work with on the website there. I won't get into that. We do have a sister company, Clock Tower Jewelry, that specializes in diamonds. We do diamond work. We help you out. If you know someone who's getting married or whatever, have them come see us. Folks, there's so much stuff with diamonds. I mean, I, you know, don't want to spend the show on it. But I'll tell you, there's just a lot of bad deals on diamonds. Diamonds are kind of weird. Jewelry can get really weird. Collectibles can get really weird. I was gone for a period of time on a vacation, went to Hawaii and checked out a few different locations there, had a good time at the Big Island. But while I was there, I watched a show on Mastro Auctions that was apparently the number one seller of baseball cards through an auction service. And through investments and whatever. And folks, just to keep it simple, the corruption was phenomenal. They eventually ended up going down, but the owner had become so calloused, even when he was under FBI investigation, he couldn't stop himself. We've seen this with Northwest Territorial Mint out of Seattle, $38 million bankruptcy. Tulving, one of the big bullion dealers, $40 million bankruptcy. By the way, Northwest Territorial Mint and Tulving were the two companies that always happened to have the absolute lowest prices you could ever find, sometimes way too low. Why is that? Because when they have cash, first of all, they didn't deliver product. That was at one point in the state of Washington, the attorney general filed a suit against Northwest Territorial Mint for failure to deliver product. She had 385 people on a lawsuit against him at the time. And after that went out, it obviously took off from there. But the point was he was not delivering product. And so who cares what you, quote, sell it for? What they were doing is running a Ponzi scheme where they were using people's investment money to fuel the business. And, you know, for obvious reasons, that doesn't work because the market fluctuates. You have to, in this business, you turn and burn. If someone buys product, it's instantly theirs. There's no float time. There's no games we play. It's just we operate with complete, true, and pure total integrity at all times for 20 years. You can't find anyone who will ever say we've ever done otherwise, which is not an accident. It's intentional. It's hard for me because in any business you're in, when bad actors show up, it hurts the whole industry. And some people get that and some people don't. They say, no, it should be good for you because it makes you look good. No, what happens is over the years as I've been in this business, I've seen a lot of bad things happen to people in our industry. And I don't like sometimes sharing this because, frankly, people have much, varied listening skills. I have people that I literally will educate about this stuff over the radio, and they'll literally come in and try to utilize what I've taught them against us, basically not remembering where they got the information, or thinking that they heard something on the radio that applies to all businesses in this industry or whatever. So it's not good necessarily for me to be so transparent about our industry because there is bad stuff out there and we, don't want to dwell on it. But Goldline was the number one retailer of precious metals and rare coins for years. And we would have every day, it seemed like, someone would come in the shop with some portfolio they'd bought that they literally, for lack of a better, explanation, that Goldline would literally charge them double what items were worth, double. So, and, who in their right mind invests like that? I mean, there's no one who would ever rationally do so. And so it's sad. And they had huge commission people and all this stuff. It's just really bad. And so we would see, Swiss America, Roslyn Capital, and then, folks, there's one born every minute. You turn on TV now, they've got Atlanta Gold and Silver, your home IRA. You can hold the gold to your IRA at home. Well, the IRA just means independent retirement account. People think, well, that's my 401k. No, here's what your 401k is an IRA, but an IRA is not necessarily a 401k. So they say you can have your own IRA at home. Well, they'll get people to cash out their 401k thinking that they can keep it at home, and then they end up with a tax liability. I mean, the company's got to be under so much pressure, it's not even funny because they're operating unethically. But they're telling people that they can keep their 401k gold and silver at home. And there's nothing in writing. They've got this huge disclaimer they make people sign. People call them. They feed them a whole line of garbage. They're not accountants. They don't work for the IRS. I mean, be careful when you're listening to people like this, folks. The way the 401k laws are written, you have to have them, the precious metals, if they're in a 401k, they have to be held in a depository service, period. They can't be held at your house for obvious reasons. You tell them you have $100,000 saved in your retirement account, and you tell them that gold, it's safe and sound in my house. Well, how do they know? How do they know you haven't sold it? How do they know you're reporting properly? If you do, they don't. And I'm not saying they should. I'm not saying our system's not messed up. But I'm just telling you the facts is you can't have, there's no such thing as a home 401k. An IRA just means you make up your own investment retirement account. Now, the argument is there's most of the items, almost all the items that we sell into portfolios are what we call non-reportable, which means if you buy or sell stock, you're getting 1099 and all that stuff. That a 1099 is just a form that says you have to report your income to the IRS. What really blows people's mind, and I learned this many moons ago when I was a young banker and You can literally own a mutual fund. Okay, now check this out. You can, what I'm going to explain, you can lose money for the year and owe taxes. Think about it. You could have $50,000 invested, end the year with $40,000 and owe $4,000 taxes. Here's how it works. A mutual fund buys and sells stocks within the fund. They could have a whole bunch, now, and you're limited. Your capital losses are limited to $3,000 a year. So if you lost $300,000 in a capital loss, you can only write off $3,000 a year. So you could have a mutual fund that has a bunch of stocks that just tank. You know, say you have $50,000 in a mutual fund and say $40,000, well, let's just say half of them, say $25,000 of those stocks drop to $10,000. So you lost $15,000 there. And say another $25,000 of it goes up $15,000. So you made $15,000 there. So at the end of the year, well, let's just say that's a good example because at the end of the year, you broke even. The mutual fund lost $15,000 on half the stocks, gained $15,000 on the other half. Well, on the half they lost $15,000, you can only capitalize up to $3,000 in capital loss. On the half that they gained $15,000, you owe taxes on the full $15,000. Yes, that's true. And sure, you can carry forward the capital loss, but what a mess. You can't stack up capital loss. You can't carry it forward the rest of your life. The way they have it structured, you'll never write it off. So if I'm going over your head, I apologize. But I'm telling you, there's so many weird things about stocks and mutual funds that people don't know. And so when you're buying and selling most any investment you can, you're getting 1099 all the time. When you deal in the items, the forms of precious metal and rare coins and bullion that we deal in, most, there's exceptions, are not reportable. That means when you buy them and sell them, there's no 1099 reporting. So it's your own private information. So a lot of people get private IRAs or 401ks. They save their own money because if you put away $10,000 today and in 10 years it's $30,000, none of that's being reported. It just sits there in your house and it just grows. It grows and grows and grows. If you're doing that in a mutual fund or stocks every single year, if you're outside of a 401k umbrella, every single year you're paying taxes on any gain you make. And so what happens is you make a little bit, oop, they take it away. Make a little bit, take it away. It makes it impossible to grow that money. If it happens to be growing in the first place, which even despite the fact that the Dow Jones is running up so record highs, you know, in the recent, you know, whatever past, that the average person's stock portfolios are not moving the same. So I've explained that it's an artificial index. It's only 30 stocks. They remove and replace them regularly. They use a weighted moving average. The same applies to the S&P 500. It's a snapshot of over a million stocks. Actually, I think it's closer to 1.5 million stocks. It's the top 500 stocks out of 1.5 million. So the way to look at that is, so, and it'll go up and it looks really good. But think of it this way. If you took a city that had 1.5 million men, and, well, that's sexist. How about we say 1.5 million people? And each week you have all 1.5 million of those people run a 40-yard dash. And each week you report the top 500 performers in that 40-yard dash. Well, week after week after week, you're going to have some of the people that every single week they're in the top 500. But you're going to have a lot of people that come and go, or they don't show up, or they're sick, or they have an injury. So you're going to have people that one week might come out of nowhere and be in the top 500. You may never see them again. And you have some that might be there 2 weeks and out 2 weeks. And you know, their times can fluctuate and everything. That's what the S&P 500 is recording. It's trying to show you, essentially, it's a little looser than that, but it's the top 500 performers in a larger market, in the Standard & Poor market. It's phony. You cannot realize those same gains. You could think, well, I will buy that fund. I'll buy the S&P 500 fund, index fund. You can't. Because you, when you buy that fund, they, the stocks that are reported in the S&P are reported after they've performed, not before. So each week as they report the performance, those are after the stocks have performed. You can't, unless you have a crystal ball, you can't predict ahead and buy stocks that are going to go up before they go up because you're not going to know. And again, I apologize if I'm confusing you. But the bottom line you need to understand is the entire system, Keynesian economic system, is designed specifically to fleece your wealth. True story. Bar none, it's communism. We've got it crawling all around us. We don't know it. We're being fleeced of our wealth. When we started taxes in this nation, they were minute fractions of a percent that were applied to the highest end citizens. They were actually voluntary. So people didn't have to pay them. They did out of patriotic duty. If they didn't pay them, they would have to forego many services. They'd give up police protection, fire department protection, different things like this. Use of certain facilities, very uncomfortable. Great, that's fair. But the forced income taxes that when we were just traveling in Hawaii and talking to, you know, people that are at the higher end of life, you know, people from New York are saying they're paying 57% tax. That doesn't count the money that is going towards taxes already built into the products you're buying. Folks, our system's broke. And when the left is so against, the reason they don't want a tax cut is twofold. They really don't want to stimulate the economy. What they really want to do is redistribute the wealth. Their goal is not to really make America great again. They don't want that. They absolutely want leftist communism, fascism. They really do it. You know, this Antifa group that's out fighting anti-fascism, they're the biggest fascists of all. They want the government to impose all these rules and regulations that take away all your civil liberty freedoms. Fascism is a merger of corporations, essentially, industry, business, and government. It's the integration of government law and business and income and everything. It's government control of everything. And versus communism, which is an absolute lie. It's a hypothetical lie where you're supposedly everybody shares all their money. It's like going to a MediShare, you know, for your health insurance, where supposedly everybody shares in everybody's thing. The problem is in America with MediShare, you can join MediShare. You take a little bit of your money, you throw it in the pot. Everybody mixes up and says, okay, you know, these people have a problem this week. We take care of them, whatever. But that's a small fraction of your money. Communism wants to take it all and do that. You don't have a choice. In every single case, without any exception, citizens under communism end up dirt poor. They end up completely dependent on the government for sustenance level living, for their basic needs, food, everything, shelter. It's terrible. I mean, you know, look at Cuba, look at Venezuela, collapse, you know. You go back in history, Mao Zedong, Stalin, huge fails, big, big fails, where literally hundreds of millions of people have died. Folks, it is a threat. It is a threat to the United States. It's a threat to our liberty and freedom. It's a threat to our faith. Communism cannot coexist with faith because faith tells us you are different than me. We were created differently by God. We have different destinies. We have different responsibilities. We have different talents. We all have a specific destiny in God's eyes. In communism's eyes, we are all alike. And that's the difference. When we say in America, you know, and liberty and justice for all, we all are given equal opportunities. We're all equal. We all have the same opportunity to do whatever we want, but we don't have equal ability. And we don't, you know, when I say equal opportunity, obviously it doesn't mean everybody gets to be born into the Hamptons and be some, you know, multimillionaire type thing. The thing is in America, you can do whatever you want. But even when I speak this way, I start questioning myself in my head. I'm starting to think, just as I say that, you know, is this true anymore? I mean, it's concerning me. And what really baffles me is, if you knew me on a personal basis, I'm a chatty person when I'm out in public. Love to talk to people. Ask a lot of questions. You know, today I was coming in the shop and some guy's walking around with some goofy device by our meters, apparently looking for gas leaks. And my wife was there and you ask him every possible question I could about his device and his job and how they detect leaks through concrete. You know, I just grill people. It's my wife goes, boy, you never, ever quit asking questions. I just want to know everything. But I also talk to people. I meet great people. When I was in Hawaii, I met some guy that I met Donald Trump's, the guy that got nominated to become the ambassador to the Bahamas, Papa Doug Manchester. He owns apparently most of downtown San Diego and a lot of Houston. And he's a mega billionaire developer. And, you know, I overheard him talking at lunch and I went over and just kind of picked up the conversation. He was with the CEO of, I think, Chase Manhattan Bank. Big bucks, you know, and you get to meet a lot of different people. It's fun. Fun to talk to a guy who has firsthand knowledge of Trump. This Doug Manchester has gone down in history as one of Trump's biggest, earliest supporters. Talking to, you know, I've talked to other people about Trump that know him personally. They all say the same thing. They say he's a driven, trustworthy, reliable, hardworking, you know, premier individual, the best. They say there's no one better. The media has absolutely, completely, and totally slaughtered Trump's efforts. I mean, they've absolutely torn him apart. It's, you know, I'm sure you know that. It's not fair at all. But it is what it is, right? I mean, we know that. And so, I guess we just have to live with what we know and make our peace with reality. But speaking to him, you know, there's kind of an idea that it came to mind. So there's a thing that it's too long to read. But essentially, in a nutshell, they come out and they tell us that the White House is in utter chaos. It's totally disastrous. Speaking to people that have intelligence at a high level of business say this is strategy, okay? These people don't understand that he's handling this as a business tycoon that just successfully completed like a large-scale acquisition or merger of a business. And bringing together multiple smaller companies into one big conglomerate. After the merger, they're putting their own people in charge of everything, and then the smaller companies all have their own executives, and at least for the short term, someone like Trump will keep many of those people around to help him keep things running and let them retain their own staff and find out their loyalty, start to appoint some of them, which he's done. But after a period of time, you're going to find out some of these people are doing fine and some are not, and some are going to be causing trouble. And in his case, he had, you know, people undermining him and leaking and really serious stuff. So the equivalent of insider trading, really, right? I mean, so you can't take it to a prosecutor, right, because of the whole situation. So there's all this circumstantial evidence building up and whatever. And so you have to deal with people, and you know that you have to get rid of them. But the problem is many of the senior employees in this conglomerate are loyal to this guy. And if you just fire him and put in your own chosen CEO, you're going to get a lot of backlash from the disgruntled employees. Now, remember, I'm explaining Trump's logic in how he's running government. And I could go on. But so basically, you know, he'd have technical backlash. So he's a smart man, he's savvy, he's wise, right? So, and he understands how touchy things can get and that he can't afford, you know, certain bad responses, especially as president. So he, you know, here, you know, brings in a hatchet man, a guy who comes in to fire everybody or clean up and take the heat for him. And, you know, this kind of a thing. We've seen him in the Apprentice. All we saw is you're fired. We didn't really see what else was going on behind the scenes. When Trump won the election, he essentially performed the political equivalent of an acquisition and merger of a company. I mean, he brought together all these different political factions, establishment Republicans, conservatives, Tea Party, religious right, moderates, independents, crossovers, into one winning political coup. And to the left, it's a hostile takeover. And if they're going to be dragged in against their will, they're going to resist all the way. This is what we're facing. And then you got like Reince Priebus as the, you know, the chairman of the RNC, hired by the White House staff to be a post-merger CEO. And, you know, basically he was too soft. He didn't do a good job. He may not have only failed, but he might have worked against Trump, and the Trump agenda is, you know, the word. And again, in a corporate environment, how does that work? There's leaks all over. Reince Priebus is always, he's the RNC. He's been in tight with the media. Reince has almost been undermining him for some odd reason. The bureaucracy continues to work at odds with the president. Priebus and a number of other people around him had to go. And then you get the Scaramucci thing. And, you know, I could go on and kind of break all this down. But you get my point, right? It basically is how he sees things from the perspective of a multi-billionaire, corporate executive, owner, president, CEO. I mean, that's how he runs things. And so this reporting of mass chaos, you know, it's a lot of it's just a complete lack of respect. President Trump goes down to basically examine or view the major flooding that's going on in Houston, and the left says he went too early, and it's like, are you serious? I mean, the games, the dirtiness, I think we've all seen it and felt the frustration. For those of you who care about the fight between Mayfield and McGregor this last weekend or week or whenever it was, that's what this is all about. Americans like, you know, McGregor 5 years ago was on welfare. And he came up in the UFC as an MMA fighter, and all of a sudden he's got a fight with the greatest boxer, arguably, of all times. Now he's got a record of 50-0. He's supposedly the fastest and the best, and he's definitely the smartest I've ever seen. I've always kind of been into that stuff, boxing my whole life and martial arts. But the reason that all the interest was there is because people want that underdog. They want that rags-to-riches American story. You know, even though the guy was from Ireland, we appreciate it. We like it. And that's why, you know, people that were like, I'm for Mayweather, they just don't even get the point. They're like, well, of course Mayweather's the favorite. He's the boxer. And so, you know, all this strategy against Trump is, you know, calling him Hitler, and then incompetent. And then, you know, first they start out saying he's Hitler, then they ease up and say he's incompetent. They basically act like he's a retard, excuse me. And then, you know, after that, they say they don't like his policies, but people have all this preconceived stuff in their head. And there's no proof to back up what they think, etc. So I'm going to leave that there just for the sake of time. I'll tell you another quick thing on the side that's absolutely bizarre. This picture comes out of Kim Jong-un, right? Standing in what looks like some kind of an outdoor covered veranda, watching his missile fly. In the background, what people refuse to notice is he's got two computer screens. One is like a GPS screen of the Earth where he's at and where the missile's going. The one next to it has six graph charts of stocks or metals or something. And so one theory that I was thinking is people are like, what are these charts of? Well, by releasing, for those of you who don't know, gold, you know, in the last couple weeks has gone up, you know, fairly well, maybe 6% or something, and silver too. But he can short the market in a day with huge amounts of leverage on options. If he knows he's letting a rocket go and he buys futures options on gold on 1 million ounces, you know, if it goes up, if he makes gold go up $25 in even a day, it's $25 million, which is easy to buy. It's only 1,000 contracts, which only costs you, you know, maybe $35, $40 a piece, $40,000 to make $25 million, pretty good deal. So just a side note of, you know, things aren't always as they seem. So what's some interesting stuff to talk about? One thing I really, on my trip, I, you know, I always try to spend time studying scriptures and whatnot. One theme, and God seems to throw these at me. By the way, another side note quick. I was down, I had to go down to the courthouse today, and well, I went there by accident. I had to renew my license, and I didn't know you couldn't do that at the courthouse. So I go in, and I'm going through the security check, and this gal comes in with a baby, and the guy who does the security check goes, ooh, what happened to the babies? And the lady says, well, he got his shots today. And he says, let me see. This is a very young infant. Two little legs, black and blue, folks, top to bottom. Kind of a blackish blue color. And the security guy just looks super alarmed. He's like, well, that's so sad, that poor thing. And this lady who's, you know, drastically overweight is like, well, I don't care. I'm not the mom. I just do what I'm told. And so she took this baby out and got immunization. So I start talking to this guy afterwards. I said, can you believe that? The guy says, no, it's horrible. He goes, I haven't immunized my kids. He goes, they're, you know, they're however old. He says, they're fantastically strong and healthy, performing well in school. They're doing terrific. They're great, vibrant kids. He says, my brother has the same amount of kids, three kids. He said he immunized them all. After the immunizations, all these problems arose. Sickness and difficulties with asthma and all these things came up, you know. And this child, as I said to the guy, I said, with that amount of bruising, that baby's body is losing it. And if anything other than immunizations, that would be absolute child abuse. That would be putting poison in the child's body and causing a drastic reaction. Folks, I'm not going to do a show on immunizations today. If you want to go back into our old radio shows, you can find one with immunizations or vaccines in the title. I've done them. They're bad. There's no good evidence of their efficacy, period. And there's starting to be a lot of evidence that they don't work. Not only that they don't work, and they don't. In fact, it's just the opposite. They create the disease they profess to stop. But what else they're doing is making people terribly sick, terribly ill. They're pumping all kinds of poison in you. It's just bad. Okay, you can do your own research, but it's common sense. Pathogens are not meant to get into our body that way. They take the harshest of pathogens and they inject them into our body through the skin, our great barrier reef. We're never supposed to be in that situation. So be aware of that, please. I mean, just if you know any infants, kids coming up in the world, man, protect them from immunizations. It's a lie. Our sickness, our misery, all this stuff is tied into that so closely. You know, everybody's like, well, it cured polio. No, it did not. The polio vaccine was on a drastic decline graphically before Salk introduced the polio vaccine. It's all a scam. It's all an absolute lie. And the science is out there to prove it, but you'll never see the government stand behind it. So, had to throw that in there. That happened to me today. That was, that really It concerned me. Okay. So I talked earlier briefly about, you know, companies that scam and all that. I want to talk real quick about, well, not real quick. I'm going to get to it here in a sec. Fear is a sin in the Bible. Precious metals investing, folks, now is a good time. I heard a guy that I respect, financial advisor, say it's the best time probably in history to buy the metals, to buy portfolios. I've explained before, we build portfolios. We are experts. I've been doing this a long time. My background, just for those of you who don't know, I don't maybe explain it enough. My background is, you know, I graduated from college. I was an actuary, you know, with degrees in math and statistics, and I minored in physics of astronomy, and before that I had health and food nutrition education, whatever. But basically science background. Actuary does all the statistical analysis for insurance companies, basically, which comes down to probability and premiums, which I also, during the, you know, a lot of that business was involved in general liability auditing, getting me in the middle of businesses. And from there, I went on to banking. And then I worked my way up into upper level banking management from an entry level position over years. I was the youngest promoted manager of a large bank corporation with over 1,000 branches at the time, and worked my way up there from, you know, to Bank of America regional manager. I've done a lot of the consumer lending, all various types of finance, lots of mortgage lending, strong background. As a manager, I was Series 6 and 7 licensed. That's to sell stocks and bonds, because the people that I taught and educated and managed did, and I had to oversee all that. A lot of exposure there. I've had, you know, all kinds of insurance, been licensed in every lines of insurance in four different states, you know, and then, of course, self-employed as a business owner for years and all kinds of stuff like that. On top of it, I love coins. I know the market. You get a real gut for it. So we know what works. I believe I have a good, strong understanding of financial markets. I understand Keynesian economics very well, the reality of economics. And I understand and believe in what we say to do and what we sell, which is what I would call precious metals-based portfolios. When you come in here and you say, I want gold or silver, well, I understand that completely, because that's what you understand. But what's important is that you allow us to build you a balanced portfolio. A portfolio is a wise, equitable, diverse way of investing within a sector that God has ordained and authorized. God, by Genesis chapter 2, God's bringing up gold. He's telling them where to go get it. And then he uses the word tov, T-O-V-B, T-O-W-B, depending on the translation, from Hebrew. The highest, most complimentary, powerful, positive word in all of ancient Hebrew. God saw his creation, and he saw that it was good. He saw that it was tov. He uses the same description towards precious metals. And then, of course, Christ, you know, gets gold, frankincense, myrrh. The temple's built in gold. Heaven's filled with gold. You know, we'll be casting our gold and silver in the streets on the day of wrath. God's just done everything to make it crystal clear how to do it. Just because man creates a system that everyone's doing doesn't make it okay. Keynesian economics is not okay. John Maynard Keynes designed it. He said it's the necessary ingredient for Marxism to prevail. He said he designed it to create a constant state of inflation. And he said through a continuous state of inflation, my economic system allows the government to confiscate an important part of the people's wealth secretly and unaware without them knowing it. Basically, that's not the exact wording, but it's off only by one or two words. It's designed to fleece your wealth. It's not an okay system. It's debt-based. The Bible warns about the debt of sin. Sin destroys. Sin ruins. Inflation, debt. Okay, debt is interest, usury. It creates inflation. The Bible's crystal clear about inflation, about interest, about usury. That's why God forbids you to loan your money out at interest. If you loan money to a friend, don't ask for interest. And banker's wisdom right here, right now, listen close. If you ever loan money to a friend or relative, you had better consider it a gift in your heart and be willing to give it to them, or do not do it. It destroys relationships. It's so rare that it works out for the better. It never comes out for the better. It always puts uncomfortable strain and stress. So just wisdom. Be wise. A fool and his money is soon departed, as it says. Don't be a fool in their money, okay? So now that we're getting down to that, I just want to talk briefly. I've done over the week, I did some Bible research, okay? I want you to think about a couple scriptures real quick. Joshua 1:9, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not tremble or be afraid, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. God says, don't tremble and don't be afraid. Be strong and courageous, okay? And what I want to touch on briefly here is fear. Fear is a sin. You need to understand that. I'm finding that more and more people are succumbing to unreasonable fears. When people have traumatic episodes in their upbringing, it creates unrealistic fears. They become fear-ridden. It's referred to in the Bible as cowardice, okay? I mean, you look up some of these, I think it's Revelation 21:8 describes those who will be cast into the lake of fire. Now, that's heavy stuff. I get that, right? And I think we all look at that and we're like, man, we hope we're on the right track, you know, blah, blah, blah. I'm not here to judge. I'm just here to read the Bible to you and tell you what it says. That's all I can do, right? And so when I'm going to pop in here to the scripture real quick, and we will read it, and then I have the other stuff a little more organized, but I could have read it from a different location, but I wanted to read it where I'm at. Revelation 21:8, but for the cowardly and unbelieving and abominable, and then he goes on, and murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now, think about that. This hit me when I read it, like about knocked me out of my chair. He says the cowardly and unbelieving, and he basically puts the two together. When you are cowardly and full of fear, you are being unbelieving. Right? Fear. What's the opposite of fear? I spent some time thinking and studying about this. The opposite of fear is faith. Fear and faith. They both look the same, right? Both of them require what? They require the same thing. Both of them require us to believe in something we can't see or something that has not happened yet. Both fear and faith require us to believe in something that has not yet occurred. And both are dire opposites. You can face tough situations with fear or faith. God tells us clearly in the Bible that he did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and self-control. God did not give you that spirit of fear. So where did it come from? You think you know. Came from the devil, you, whatever. Brokenness, separation from God, not having faith. I think it's important to understand this. You go even in, I don't have the time to read it, but Nehemiah 6:10-14. It says, it goes in where Nehemiah talks and he says, I came into the house of Shimei, the son of Delilah or whatever, son of whoever, who was a secret informer. And he said, let's meet at the temple of God, he says, for they're coming to kill you. So that night, and indeed tonight, they're going to come and kill you. And then Nehemiah says, why should such a man as I flee? And who is there that such as I would go into the temple to save my life? I will not go in. And he says, then I perceive that God had not sent him at all, but that he pronounced this prophecy against me because Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. For this reason he was hired, that I should be afraid and act that way and sin, so they might have cause for an evil report, that they might reproach me. He says they wanted him to be afraid and sin. Those two go hand in hand. This is something that's important to understand. Romans 14:23, he who doubts is condemned. Basically, it says, if he eats, and it goes on and says, if you either eat from faith or from doubt. If you doubt, you're condemned. He says, or you eat, you live, you do what you do by faith. He says, whatever is not from faith is sin. A lack of faith is sin. Now, I'm not saying faith, you know, you got all the faith in the world, but you can. You fake it till you make it. You act it out. God tells you to do it, you do it. You pray, you believe, you speak as if, you talk as if God's going to do it. I talk in the past about thinking big. Think big. God's huge. He's magnificent. He does everything. I talked a little bit ago about the prayer of a slave, which is what they were doing in Egypt, to asking to be better slaves. You don't want to pray to be a better slave. You want to pray to be liberated from slavery. And that's what kept the Israelites captive for hundreds of years. They just prayed to be better slaves. God is the God of liberty. And finally, Moses got them out of there, and then they got mad at him. Fear is contagious. In Numbers, it talks about when it says when they were supposed to go into the promised land, the men who'd gone up with him said, we're not able to go up against the people, for they're stronger than we. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants. And then it, in parentheses it says, the descendants of Anak came from the giants. And it says, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. Except for Joshua and Caleb, those who searched out the promised land expressed their fears, as you read on. It goes on in 14. It says, so all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried. Now, folks, this is fear is contagious. If you have a leader, if you lead a family, a mother, a father, grandparent, whatever, you, I mean, it doesn't matter if you work, people around you at work, whatever. Fear is contagious, especially with children. Don't you ever show fear around your children. You show faith. Don't show fear. You will destroy your children. You teach them faith. You're afraid of nothing. Fear, what does God say to fear? Don't fear man who can take your body. He says, fear the one who can take your soul, basically. There's only two that can mess with your soul. God's number one. Hypothetically, Satan's number two. Satan can't take your soul if God has it protected, but he can mess with it. But we are to fear God. So it says, so all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. So the people are moaning and groaning and whining and complaining. And he goes, and the people wept that night, and all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, if only we died in the land of Egypt, or if only we died in the wilderness, why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should become victims? Wouldn't it be better for us to return to Egypt? They were beaten slaves. And we get stuck in our rut and thinking like losers, letting fear captivate us, wanting to run back to our hole and cower down. Is that glorifying to God to see a man or woman who is cowardly? No. Don't fall victim to it. Don't lie to yourself and say it's okay. It is not okay. If you're afraid of people, you don't want to go into certain situations, you walk in, head held high, prideful in a positive, good way. I mean, not you know, the self-pride that's unrighteous, but I mean, you know, prideful in a good, positive, godly, confident way. Because you're going to be kind and just, and you're going to express the fruits of the Spirit. You are going to manifest love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control when you're around those people. You're going to be the salt of the earth. You fear nothing. God tells us that. God says after that, he says, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation who complain against me? I'm going to stop there real quick. Folks, don't go to God with why me, woe is me. You can say, Lord, I do not understand this situation. I know you're God, and I'll tell you something. When you have faith that God will do it, no matter what a situation looks like, what does he say? That he works everything for your good. I've heard people say, oh, man, this is a bunch of random, you know, God's not in control. Oh, he is. Beyond your wildest dreams. When we go to heaven, there is going to be, it's so huge and infinitely massive, there will be museums. You literally will have a body to enjoy this stuff for eternity. There will be museums of each person's life. And I don't know how it'll show up, but there will be lineages showing the interweaving and intermixing with everybody else and the magnificent plan that God had for each and every one of us. But it's granted, it's as far beyond our comprehension as possible. But he's in control. He says, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation who complain against me? I've heard the complaints which the children of Israel make against me. Say to them, as I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so I will do to you. So here it comes. He says, the carcasses of you who have complained. He calls them carcasses. Not bodies, not corpses, carcasses. Dried up, shriveled up, wasted waste. The carcasses of you who have complained against me shall fall in this wilderness. All of you who were numbered according to your entire number from 20 years old and above. I mean, he just comes right out. You know, how does fear differ from dread? Consternation or surprise, anger, disgust, hatred, and all the horror all contain elements of fear. Jealousy may not be understood as fear, but it's the fear of losing someone's partner. It's the fear of someone being better than you, having something you don't. Guilt is maybe the fear of God's punishment. Shame is fear of humiliation. I mean, even in Star Wars, which is, you know, not where we get our quotes, but he says, who was it? Yoda said, fear is the path to the dark side. Fear leads to anger. Anger leads to hate. Hate leads to suffering. Now, I'm not going to quote Yoda, but apparently there's a little wisdom there. So we can get into where fear starts and all that, but I don't have time today. But trust me, folks. The Bible is crystal, crystal clear. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. What is he saying? Fear not. Folks, it's a sin. 1 John, there is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. Fear has to do with bad things happening to you, you know, and he answered. Psalms 34 says, I sought the Lord. He answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Proverbs 29, the fear of a man lays a snare. Whoever trusts in the Lord is safe. When you fear, you make bad, wrong decisions. Fear is a sin. Revelation, again, we get back to, you know, where I started the show, where he says what about in Revelation? He says, but the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable murders, etc., sexual immorality, sort whatever, and all the liars have their part in the lake which burns of fire, you know, at the end. We are not to be afraid. Fear not, for I am with you always. Be not afraid. Think about it, folks. Fear is a sin. Fear nullifies you. Fear makes you make stupid decisions. People say, why have I never gotten a break in life? Well, I've said God provides opportunities. We just need to take them. That's our free will part. Why don't you take opportunities? Well, I'm afraid. What are you afraid of? I'm afraid I'll fail. Oh, fear of failure. So what do people do? Out of fear of failure. Oh, I'm not even going to try. I'm afraid. I'm a coward. It sickens me. I mean, cowardliness is one thing. I'm sorry if I offend anybody, but it sickens me. Cowardice is not godly. It's not from God. It's something you can overcome in a moment, but for some reason, some won't. Do not let it, don't succumb to it. Don't let it control you. Just stand strong and trust in the Lord. Faith or fear, you can't have both. Which one are you going to fill your heart with? So anyway, thank you again for tuning in. I'm glad I'm back. I'm telling you, folks, we've got a lot of great product for investment portfolios to put together, and the prices are real good. It's just like everything else in the money markets. Things are slim right now. It's good value. So thanks for tuning in. Take care. God bless. Give us a call, and we'll be back Friday. Bye.